Our sermon text is from Revelation 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are many scholars who have sought to put forth a reason for the Reformation. Some have determined that Luther was all about the free will of the individual Christian to determine his own truth. You see, the church hierarchy was telling people what to believe, and in this way they were oppressing the church. They say that Luther rejected the authority of the church so that every individual could determine for himself his own beliefs. Now, it is true that Luther translated the scriptures into the language of the people, and he desired each individual person to read the Word of God. It is true that Luther taught each person to judge their pastor's teaching by the Word of God, but that doesn't mean that Luther was somehow anti-church or anti-creedal. Others have decided that the reason for the Reformation was because he was fighting against immorality and corruption of the church leaders. The Pope, bishops, and monks were living sexually immoral lives. The church forbid marriage, but, well, that didn't stop the leaders from having mistresses and engaging in homosexual behavior. It is true that Luther held up marriage as a godly estate. He condemned those who pretended to lead a life of celibacy, thinking that it was a higher holiness. Luther did speak out against those who had renounced all property, but in fact they were living a life of luxury based upon the church, just piles of wealth. Nevertheless, this doesn't mean that Luther was only concerned about corruption and morality. Finally, there are those scholars who think that Luther was against the Roman Mass, and thus he wanted to abolish this formal worship so that there could be a spiritual worship of the heart. Now, it is true that Luther condemned the Roman Mass, calling it a cesspool of false teaching. He did, in fact, forbid the private Mass, and he did offer a rewriting of the communion liturgy. Nevertheless, Luther did not abolish the Mass, nor did he remove the vestments or church ceremonies. Luther even provided for the celebration of Lord's Supper, as the Lutheran confessions even say, that it might be celebrated every Sunday, every holy day, and on other days when the people request it. If the Reformation was simply about a personal Christianity, then we would simply trade the Pope, who has the Spirit in his heart, for, well, our own feelings of having the Spirit in our heart. The fight for the Reformation was not to secure the rights of the individual. If the fight of the Reformation was only about moral living and a scandal-free clergy, well, then we might as well embrace morality. The fight for the Reformation was not simply about an increase in outward good works, not at all. If the Reformation was about abandoning liturgical forms, well, then it was just an external church remodeling. The fight for the Reformation was certainly not about putting away that there might be a more contemporary worship. The Reformation was about something much more than church hierarchy, morality, and worship style. Luther did not break with the fellowship with the Roman Church over minor matters. His concern was the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died to take away our sins. Dr. Martin Luther was concerned because the gospel of Jesus Christ had been replaced by works righteousness. Men and women were told that they could be saved by doing good works. And when Martin Luther spoke up about this, there were some who then began to speak a little bit more about faith, but they simply added faith to their works righteousness. In other words, instead of saying that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, they said that a person was saved by faith, but only if he did good works. And thus they taught, we're saved not by faith alone, but by faith which produces good works. Faith alone wouldn't do it, which in the end is simply good works once again. And so even though Luther brings this up, they did not turn. The end result is that if you trust in good works, or good works in something else, or good works in whatever, you will not be saved. The end result is that God has said, faith in Jesus Christ alone saves. To return to those other false reasons for the Reformation, well, whether the church proclaims or the individual declares what they believe, without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Whether there is outward moral living or immoral living without repentance, which then includes faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Whether there is a fancy mass in the beautiful church with a vestment-clad pastor, or whether it is a simple service of word and sacrament, without faith in Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Luther's concern goes at the heart of the matter. It goes to the central teaching. It is the doctrine by which the church stands or falls. Sometimes we speak of this doctrine by Scripture alone, by grace alone, by faith alone. Yes, you are saved by grace alone. Grace is the love that is within the triune God, which caused him to send his Son. Grace is not something in man, it is something in God. God's grace is the motive for our salvation. Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by good works, so that no one can boast. God saves you by his grace alone. You are saved by Scripture alone. That is, we know of this grace only because it comes to us through the means of grace, the Holy Scriptures and the sacraments. We do not look to our own heart. It doesn't matter if we are Pope or the youngest maid in his church. We do not look to our emotions. We look to Scripture alone, the one source of this truth about our salvation. When I speak to you the Word of God, you must not doubt it. It is just as valid and certain in heaven as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. When I point you to your baptism, you must not look at just plain water, but you must look at what the Scriptures, the Word of Truth, says about it. It is water included in God's command and combined with God's Word. When you are given the body and blood of Jesus Christ into your mouth, you must not trust in your senses, but the words which are written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. God saves you by grace, which is taught to us through Scripture alone and not through any means. And finally, you are saved by faith alone. That is, God's King comes to us when our Heavenly Father gives his Holy Spirit, so that by His grace we believe. Faith. We believe His holy word. Yes, believe. It is through faith alone. Now, of course, where there is faith in Jesus Christ, there is going to follow a life of thankfulness. Gives us His, by His grace, we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. The grace of God which comes to us, the Holy Scripture, is received by faith, which is a gift of God, and so we give Him thanks. We give Him thanks by trusting in that word alone. We give Him thanks by celebrating the Lord's Supper, that we might receive it for our salvation. We come that we might as well not have a church hierarchy or a pastor that preaches things that he thinks. He preaches only the Word of God, Scripture alone, which teaches of grace alone and faith alone. When Jesus has given us this teaching through His Word, we do not wish to let it go. Luther, through the study of God's Word, had come to learn of this truth, not a minor matter, but the foundation upon which all believers and all church and everything is built on. And so, the Reformation, which we come to celebrate this day, is about a return to the foundation that we might, by grace alone, through faith alone, through the Scriptures alone, that we might have the confident and sure hope of eternal salvation. Luther is restoring to us the everlasting gospel, the gospel that God has been preaching from Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis until the very last day. This is God's church, and in His church there will be the gospel of Jesus Christ, the everlasting gospel proclaimed. Amen. May the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.